السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, I mentioned many times that this one ayat is sufficient for our islah, if we are seriously interested in islah, in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, O ye believers, ittaqullaha haqqa tuqati, fear Allah as he should be feared, and do not die except in a state of islam. Do not die but as a Muslim. If we have taqwa and if we pass away as Muslims, then we are successful. This ayat we can go on speaking the whole year round. There's so much that is relevant. But in tonight's majlis, since we do not have that kitab which we were discussing about the fitnas, in which we were doing Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullah Alayhi's poetry on the present time. So let us just discuss one hadith of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. Recently, Radio Islam requested that some nasihat be given live, telephonically, and they will play it over Radio Islam in the Transvaal. So whenever somebody requests for nasihat and they say the time is limited, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So at such a time, one hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam generally comes to mind. And tonight we will discuss that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which my Shaykh Hazrat Mawla Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum refers to as a no-second kawaz, a waz of 9 seconds. That if you have to look at the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if a person has to look at the watch, it takes barely 9 seconds. But it is an ocean in a teacup. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, few words, but you can expand. It becomes an ocean. Ocean of knowledge Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is to give in a short space of time. That hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there are many lessons in there. But for our purposes, the first thing is that sahabi asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for some nasihat. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, give me some advice, give me some nasihat. Now what we learn from that is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his Jummah khutbahs were nasihat. Every discussion of his was nasihat. His explanation of the tafsir of the Quran Sharif was nasihat. Everything was nasihat. There was no question of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying something which was not nasihat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, every word that came out of his mubarak lips was nasihat for the ummah. Every action of his was nasihat. Even if he didn't give speech and he remained silent, then that too was nasihat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, even if he didn't give any speech, so many awliya ikram, they hardly spoke, but the fragrance of their majlis reached far and wide. A beautiful example is that of Raat Ki Rani, that flower which has such a beautiful fragrance, and it's called Raat Ki Rani. Now what speech does Raat Ki Rani give? Does Raat Ki Rani give a speech? But look at the fragrance of Raat Ki Rani, how far it goes. At night, if there's a beautiful cool breeze, then that fragrance can be smelled far and wide. And yet it didn't give any speech. Hazrat Mufti Zainul Abideen Damat Barakatuhum was traveling in the train from Raiwan to Faisalabad. And in that train was the late Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that great Qutub of the time. Some of you have met him or had met him when he had come to Stanger. So he was in that train, and it was extremely hot, very, very hot. And we know the coaches, those days, what kind of coaches they had. So the fans were not working, and it was very hot. So at one of the stations, Hazrat Mufti Zainul Abideen, Damat Barakatuhum, he ordered blocks of ice, huge blocks of ice. There they sell on the platforms, ice. So he ordered those huge blocks of ice, 3-4 huge blocks, and he placed it in that coach. After a little while, the coach turned cool. So then he addressed the people in the coach and he said that this ice didn't give any speech, but it cooled the whole coach. In the same way, Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah, that now is Rahmatullah Ali, that time he was alive, he said he is sitting here, he's not, even if he doesn't give any speech, you will feel the coolness in your heart, the sohbat of the saliheen. He said, ajeeb misal hai. And we all know that if we sit by the fire, what will we feel? Heat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, everything of his was nasihat. But yet this sahabi says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, give me some nasihat. And then to add to that, he says, wa aujiz, make it very brief and short. Now if one of us had to be there, we would have said that this person is gustakh, he is be'adab. He is asking Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for nasihat, but it must be very short, very brief. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if he had spoken for 1 hour or 2 hours, it would have been better for the ummat. But he is asking him to make it very brief. From there we learn that if somebody knows the Quran, knows the hadith, knows the tafsir, then it does not mean that now he is not in need of nasihat. Even after all that, he must still seek nasihat and advice from those whom he considers his elders, those whom he considers the mashayikh of the time. Then he must ask for advice on different issues, different matters. He must ask for advice and nasihat. And then that shaykh of the time, he must not feel offended if the person has to say that, make it brief, I don't have much time, make it brief, in a few words, or for 5 minutes, or 20 minutes, or 10 minutes, then he must not feel offended. One alim came to this country for the first time. So I requested him to give the Jummah talk. I'm talking about 15, 20 years ago. And I explained to him that the Jummah Bayan here we have for about 20 minutes. Because people have to get back to work, there are students that come, there are doctors who have to get back to operations and other things. So the Jummah khutbah is, before that the talk is about 20 minutes. So he says, Mera bayan to kam se kam ek ghante ka hota hai. So I say, agar ek ghante ka hota hai, to Jummah ke din phir mushkil hai. Phir raat ko hum rakh sakte hai. But we can't have it Jummah time. Jummah time you have to give the 20 minute talk. So the person must not feel offended if he is told to speak for 15 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever time he is given, he must make nasihat. Now look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, a sahabi of his is saying, make nasihat, but be brief, be concise. Why did they say that? Why did they say that? It's not that they did not want to listen to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, these people were ashik over him. And if he spoke the whole night and day, they would have been still requesting him to go on. But the reason for that was they were not like us, just listen, listen and listen. They were not like us, that just for the entertainment and pleasure of the, for listening pleasure, we sit. It was not for listening pleasure, that just for entertainment. Just as some people entertain themselves in cinemas, theaters, here and there. So now we are considered as a little bit of holy and pious people, we don't go to such entertainment, then we say we entertain ourselves with a little bit of waaz and nasihat. Na'uzubillah. It's not that. Of course, the person is not free of, or he does not deprive himself of sawab and reward if his niyat is that I want to listen to something about deen. But together with that, there was this niyat to make amal, that whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, we must make amal immediately. There was no question of, we'll see tomorrow, we will decide whether we should make amal on it or not. Or next year we will decide. At present it's a bit too early to make amal on the nasihat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We will think over it. One sahabi came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's majlis and he had heard Surah Zilzal. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then asked Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to teach him Surah Zilzal. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu taught him Surah Zilzal, and after that he went, Iza zulzilatil ardh. And he never came back for a long, long time. After a long time when he came, then he asked him that, where were you all this time? He said, I went to make amal on that Surah Zilzal. I went to make amal on that. So here also Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being requested for nasihat, very brief nasihat, so that they may be able to make amal immediately on it. There was no question of delay on making amal, practicing upon whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said. That incident is so famous, all the books of history record it, and every one of you have heard it many times, about the sharab and the drink, that when it was prohibited, then that alcohol, which they were addicted to, they used to drink wine like how we drink water, but that which was in the jars did not come into the tumblers, that which was in the tumblers did not come to the mouth, and the best part of it is that which was in the mouth, they did not even gulp that down. That now this is the last, let us enjoy the last sip. Even that they spat it out. And the gullies of Madina Sharif, alcohol was flowing there in those gullies as if heavy rain had fallen, and how water flows. That is how solid they were in their amal. The Masjid Zulqiblatain, we all know, those people who have gone to Madina Sharif, that when the ayats were revealed of the change of Qibla, then in their namaz, when they heard that the Qibla is changed, then in their namaz they changed the direction. They didn't even wait now, that after we complete this namaz, then we will wait and find out more details, and then we will change the direction. Therefore it is called the Masjid of Two Qiblas. So they asked for nasihat because they wanted to make amal. So this sahabi, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give me some advice, give me some nasihat, but be very brief. Make it very brief and concise. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also made it so brief, but what he said in that is what we have to ponder over. Iza qumta fi salatika fa salli salata muwaddin, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. The first part of it is إِذَا قُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ فَصَلِّ صَلَاتَ مُوَدِّينَ. That when you make your salat, when you make your namaz, then consider this namaz to be the last namaz of your life. Every person should consider that salat which he has been given the opportunity of performing to be the last salat of his life. In other words, if that person is told that after this you will not get another opportunity to make a namaz, how he will make that salat, with what concentration and with what devotion and with what sincerity and with what ikhlas, that is how he should make that salat. The whatever salat we make, we should consider that to be the last salat of our lives. For the imam, it is said that he must make namaz light. Man amma qawman fal yukhaffif. But when we are reading our individual salat, then if we read 2-3 times more, Subhanallah, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Ala, what difference it will make? If we lengthen our sajdas a bit, if we make our rukus a little longer. One brother phoned me just a few days ago, and because he was saying it himself, therefore I'm relating it. He says, Maulana, do you recognize the voice? I said, no, boy, I don't recognize. He says, 15-20 years ago, about 15-16 years ago, when you used to come to give lecture in our masjid, I used to sit right in front of you. I said, how can I remember who sat in front of me 15-16 years ago? He said, they used to call me the fastest gun in town. I said, boy, those days there were not much guns and not much shootings. So what you used to do with your gun? He says, no, because I used to read the fastest namaz. So they used to call me the fastest gun in town. He says, I used to read the fastest namaz. So my friends used to joke and call me the fastest gun in town. So that kind of namaz, what kind of noor will it bring into the heart? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that consider this salat to be the last salat of your life. And then extending the meaning of this over all other ibadat, it means that whatever you are doing, which whether you are giving zakat or whether you are fasting or whether you are making zikr or you are making tilawat of the Quran Sharif, whatever ibadat you are doing, consider that to be the last ibadat of your life. As if you will never be given another opportunity. Now that person, if he is aware that that is the last, then there will be ikhlas in it. He will do it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And then there will be that khawf of qiyamat and of akhirat. The person will be concerned that this is how I will have to stand just now a few minutes time before my Allah. Or I will be questioned by the munkar nakir in the grave. So that person who reads the salat or does that ibadat as if it is the last, what kind of sincerity there will be in there. That is what the person, that is how he should be doing all amals of his life. Each and every one, that is what he should be doing. And also if we extend the meaning even further, that consider or read that salat as the person who is wishing goodbye to this world. That means that action now is the last action of his life. Now if we are extending the meaning, just giving the, there's so much of hikmat and wisdom in whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that we must not just limit it to that one salat, that we must consider that action to be the last action of our life, whatever action we are doing. Like, I don't know whether this is the last opportunity for me to sit here and speak to you. Who knows? Nobody knows whether he's going to go out and reach safely home or not. And especially in these days, I mean, what evidence do we want? What lack of evidence is there? What more do we want for nasihat? We are reading daily, we are listening to incidents of hold-ups and murders and killings and all daily. Those people became shaheed. Those who were shot and killed or slain, they became shaheed. They are fortunate. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. And Allah give sabre jameel and ajre azim to those that they left behind. But it's a form of shahadat that they have been given. But for us, there are lessons in all that. That what more evidence do we want? What more lessons do we want? How much more are we going to listen before we realize that whatever action we are undertaking could be the last action of our life? Now, which person would like to find himself in the last action of his life in something that is sinful, shameless, indecent, haram, forbidden? Which person who is a Muslim, who is a believer in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, believer in the Day of Judgment? Which person would like that the newspapers report or the community talks or at the graveyard there should be a gossip there that this person who died just now, a few seconds ago, or the person who died and whom we are burying now, died a few hours ago, then the last action of his life was that he was glued to one porn movie on the television screen. The last action of his life was that he was in some hotel room committing adultery and fornication. The last action of his life was that he was on the telephone with some illicit beloved of his. The last action of his life was that he was signing one check fraudulently. The last action of his life was that he was popping drugs into his mouth. Which person would like that kind of a gossip at the graveyard? Embarrassment for him, embarrassment for the family, embarrassment for the entire Muslim community. So look at that first part of it, that the person should read his salat as if it is the last salat of his life. He should consider that to be the last. And we can extend that meaning and we can go on and on as far as the ibadat are concerned, actions are concerned, in everything. But without going into the details, the second part, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَلَا تَكَلَّمْ بِكَلَامٍ تَعْزِرُ مِنْهُ غَدًا. That do not utter any statement from your mouth. Let me just give you the meaning of that. That do not utter any kind of statement from your mouth, from your lips, from your tongues, for which you will have to ask for apology, for which you will have to make mazarat. I am sorry. I ask for forgiveness. I made a mistake. Now, although there the meaning is that on the day of Qiyamah, you don't say anything for which on the day of Qiyamah you will have serious regret, for which you will have serious regret, and you will have to ask, and at that time nobody is going to assist and help. So don't say anything of that nature. As I mentioned last week, that woman who had some problem, marital problem, so she tells me on the telephone that, Maulana, the constitution of the country, the South African government's constitution, gives us more protection than the Quran. Or that person who says that the Quran laws, the Quranic laws, were for those people who lived in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They cannot keep up with the modern day age. The world has progressed too fast. Nauzubillah, the Quran needs a reformation and change. Now, these type of statements are statements of kufr. But besides that, there are so many other statements that people are just making, unconcerned what they have said. In the time of the Sahabas, if somebody had to make that statement, he will be considered to be a munafiq khalis. Pure munafiq. And in our times, we consider that person to be still a very good Muslim. This is why I mentioned in some other majlis also, that there are so many nikahs which we are performing, in which we do not even know whether that person is still a Muslim or is not a Muslim. The person comes from somewhere, some university, some college, or some other fast lane society, and he has made so much of statements and he is unconcerned. Or the girl has made such kind of statements, the bride has made such kind of statements, and they haven't made tawbah because they don't consider it as anything wrong. They don't consider it as having said something wrong. When I went to Bangladesh, then there I was told that there's not just one taslima, that one taslima who said that the Quran Sharif, not parts of it, but she said the whole of the Quran Sharif needs reformation and change. And they gave her such prominence that in America, in England, or wherever she went, running away from Bangladesh, she was given television interviews on what her views are on the Quran Sharif. That means she is still considering herself as a Muslim. So there I was, when I went to one or two of those universities, there I was told that this is what is being done here, that bright, intelligent, young Muslim girls are chosen for higher studies. They are given scholarships, they are given bursaries, they are given every facility. And then, when they are brainwashed properly, they are told that you must not say that you don't like Islam, or you don't love Islam, or that you are not a Muslim. You must claim till your dying day that I am a Muslim, but I have a problem with certain verses of the Quran Sharif. I have a problem with certain hadiths of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One student qualified at one institute of higher Islamic studies, at one conference when the government was formulating the new constitution. Then there we were also invited to make some representation. And there this person stands up and he's got a doctorate in Islamic studies. Wallah, I'm telling you, in the masjid, that person stands up where there were so many non-Muslims, Christians, Jews, Hindus. In front of all of them, we had prepared to that we are going to say this and say that. Now he stands up there and he says that, I have a problem taking the verse of the Quran Sharif, لِذَّكَرَ مِثْلُ حَزِّ الْأُنْسَيَيْنِ, to the civilized society that we live in. Na'uzu billah. He said, this verse of the Quran Sharif where it says that the share of the male is twice that of the female, I have a problem taking that verse to the civilized society. Now we had to explain why Allah Ta'ala mentions that. And yet that person is a scholar of Islam. So this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, that control this tongue, don't make such statements which will cause you tremendous amount of regret, embarrassment, shame, humiliation, for which you will have to apologize, for which you will have to seek forgiveness on the day of Qiyamah. Besides the statements of Kufr, there are many other statements. And also again extending the meaning very far and so far you can take the meaning of that. That whatever statement we make, we should be concerned that is this statement going to tear up the heart of the person that we are talking to? Is it going to cause him pain? Is it going to cause him offense? Is it going to bring happiness into the person's heart? Or is it going to cause him hurt and injury? Of course, if something is of haqq, as long as it is said in the haqq way, then there is no problem. But I am talking about in general discussions, the type of language that is used sometimes, the hurtful language that is used, where the person's position is not even considered, that this person is elder than myself, or that person is a young person and in front of him such statements are made. In other words, there is no control over this tongue, and it is going to cause serious problem. So don't say anything with this tongue, where afterwards we have to keep saying, I'm sorry, I should not have told you this, I should not have said this, I should not have... Now what is this necessity for all that if the person was a little concerned, and before making that statement, he pondered over what he is saying. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that don't let that happen. And then in the third part he says, وَأَجْمِلْ عَيَاسَ فِيمَا عَيْدِ النَّاسِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. If you put those three things together, it takes 9 seconds. He says, whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given to the people, I'm giving you just the meaning, whatever people have got in their possession, then don't have any kind of hope on their property, on their wealth, on their gold and silver, on their diamonds and pearls, and on their properties. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has given, besides material things also, if a person has got good children, a person has been blessed with a pretty wife, a person has been blessed with a good home, a person has been blessed with a good car, then whatever that person has got, good luck to him. Make dua, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protect him from the fitnas of that material things that Allah Ta'ala has given to him, and seek from Allah Ta'ala whatever we want. But do not have hopes, high hopes on what that person has got, because that will make your life restless. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what a beautiful prescription he gave just in these three things. That will make the person's life restless, that every time he saw a good car by somebody, now his life becomes restless. That I don't even have a bicycle and this person has got a nice car. The moment he sees a good house and a good home, somebody is living in there, now his heart becomes restless. I don't even have a good hut and this person has got a big mansion. The moment he sees some gold and silver in somebody's possession, or the person sees someone flying up and down, now finish, his heart becomes restless. Why burn that heart for nothing? Why make it restless? Allah Ta'ala does not want to see us restless. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wants to see us lead a life of sukoon and peace and happiness, contentment and satisfaction. So what this means is that bring contentment into your heart. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has given to you, let there be contentment in your heart. Allah has given you hands, He's given you feet, He's given you intelligence. All are not of the same level. Some have got less, some have got more. If Allah Ta'ala made everybody of the same level of intelligence, the same health, the same color, the same wealth, everything the same, it would have become very difficult. Allah Ta'ala has placed rights of people, that if that person is poor, now the rich people should try and take care of his needs. If she is a widow, then don't tell her, you must go and work in the bazaar and marketplace, because you are fit and healthy. If that widow can do something from the house, well and good. But we will say, no, she is fit, she must go and work. And yet those brothers may be very wealthy and rich. But they'll say, no, the father could be still wealthy and rich, but he will not think that this will be now be a reward for him. So he's taking care of this girl who has come back, his daughter who has come back. They will say, no, you must go and work in the bazaar. Even though you lose your iman, you lose your respect, you lose your shame and your haya and your modesty, and if you have hassles and if you have harassment, it's of no concern to us. That is what happens in the bazaars, and you go and destroy yourself also. So that should not be our attitude. It will be our duty then that those who have been given less, or those who do not have that kind of intelligence, or those who have become poverty stricken, or those who are destitute, or they are widows, or they are orphans, then it becomes the duty of those who have been blessed with more to take care of them. But at the same time, those people, if they are of intelligence, then the bazaar and marketplace is open for them. They must make an effort. I'm talking about the youth, about the male adults, and even the women folk, if they are widows or they have come back, but they've got some skills which they can use to market certain things from home or with respect and dignity, or if they are forced to go and work, it's a different thing. But then, be content with whatever you get. Don't let there be this restlessness in the heart that why has this person been blessed with so much. When that will come in the heart, then automatically Allah Ta'ala will give that person sukoon in his heart. And when that person has got sukoon in his heart, then he will have sukoon in his namaz also. Then he will have sukoon in his tilawat also. Then he will have sukoon in his zikr also. But the person whose heart is restless, then when he's making Allahu Akbar also, that restlessness will remain there. All that material things of the world will come inside that heart, even in his namaz. Allahu Akbar, and everything is there in that namaz. In his tilawat also, the mind is there in the bazaar and marketplace and everywhere else. In his zikr also, it is the same thing. That how can I also amass that same kind of fortune? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when you make the salat, consider that salat to be the last salat of your life. And make it in such a manner that it is for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. There's sincerity in there, there's ikhlas there, there's sukoon in that namaz. And there is that connection built up with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In the same way, don't utter those kind of statements which cause injury and pain to any person without justification. There are certain statements which are made and it causes injury, but there is justification. But then you have to understand where and when and how much should be said and when should it be said. And also don't make such kind of statements which will be of kufr, which will be of shirk, or which will be of nifaq and hypocrisy, or which will take a person out from the pale of Islam, or for which he will have to apologize, or he will have to regret and express great remorse, but it could be too late. And also, whatever Allah Ta'ala has given, be content over it. Now, if the person has got these three things, then it covers every aspect. In these three things, everything is covered. His namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, his dealings with his family members, with his parents, with his children, with his relatives, with his neighbors, everything. In just this little hadith of 9 seconds, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has covered his, what we term as the ibadat. Even the aqaid are covered in there. The ibadat are covered. The muasharat is covered. The muamlat is covered. Everything is in there. Now it's just a question of, as we ponder and we dig deep into it, we'll get everything. The person goes into the ocean, he brings out the pearls from there. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said. There's great wisdom in it. But as I said, that the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, it was not a question of just listening. They listened for the sake of making amal. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah alayh, he says that whenever you attend a majlis, then come with the niyyah that I want to give up at least one sin of my life. Every majlis that you attend, you say, I want to give up one sin that I am addicted to of my life, or one weakness of mine I want to eliminate in this majlis. So in that manner, he says, you are coming twice a week. He used to have twice a week majlis also. He says, you are coming twice a week. In a year, there's 52 weeks. So 104 weakness and shortcomings a person can eliminate. If just he eliminates one, imagine, in just 1 year's time, he can be clean and pure. But that is if the person is really interested in bringing about a change and reformation. Brothers, especially that first part in our time is very, very relevant. There's just no guarantee. Last week, just outside here, that poor lady missed her life. And yet there's so much of cars here. There's so much of hold-ups, murders, killings. Everywhere there's nothing but fear, and everything is at a risk. With all the security and the alarm systems and the burglar guards and everything. And all of us are in the same boat. It's not that the person who is speaking is not in that same situation. We all are in the same scattering. When azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala comes over a whole community, then the good and the bad, everybody will have to suffer the consequence. So therefore it becomes a duty of those who know to educate the others, to inform them and to stop them and prevent them from doing that which is haram. If we are not going to do that, then we all will get caught up. It is our duty to see to it that our children, our family members and others also don't engage in the same kind of haram. As I've mentioned many times, that so many people are considering those who give up haram as being abnormal, and those who indulge in haram as being absolutely normal. Complete reverse. Those who indulge in haram, they say, is a normal person. If he listens to music, he goes to the cinemas and he indulges in all kinds of vices and he believes in free intermingling of the sexes and everything, then say that person is very broad-minded and is absolutely normal person. But if some young girl in the house or some young boy starts coming to the masjid 5 times a day and he doesn't associate with those who are in drugs and drink and wine and women, then we say that he's abnormal. So then Allah Ta'ala's azab, when it comes, then the whole locality has to suffer. So there's so much of darkness because of our sins. There's so much of darkness. Now the only way that we have to eliminate that is to make plenty of tawbah, istighfar. We have to work on ourselves also and within our homes. That is the starting point. What is the sense of talking about something that's happening thousands of miles away when we can't put our own homes right? But of course it does not mean that you must not work other places if your home doesn't come right. But at least make the effort in the home too. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of taking this nasihat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to heart. And just as that sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he took it to heart and made amals immediately, we too should take it to heart and make amal immediately. That if our namazes are very, very fast, I'm talking about our sunnats and nafil, like my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Aqeemuddin Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, he says he went to one college in Lahore or Islamabad somewhere, and while speaking to those students there, he found out that they don't read Isha Namaz. He said, why they don't read Isha Namaz? Some majority of them. He says 17 rakats is too much, so they find it difficult. And he says whichever alim spoke to them always told them there's 17 rakats namaz for Isha. So now 17 rakats they found too difficult. So he said, isliye main kehta hu ki aajkal college ke talaba se ye mat kaho 17 rakat. Now look at the wisdom. He says, when you're talking to these college students or somebody that is just coming towards namaz, then don't tell him Isha namaz is 17 rakats. Tell him to read 9 rakats, but read it properly. The 4 sunnah, the ghair muakkada, when he gets used to it, then he can start reading. But at present, time to read 4 farz, 2 sunnah, and 3 witr. Now, how long does that take? But time to read it properly. Inshallah, he won't be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. And you won't be questioned too, that why did you show him 9 rakats? It was to bring him close to namaz first. One person accepted Islam in the month of Ramadan. So the person who was explaining to him Islam, he told him about namaz. He said, namaz, you have to read 37 rakats for Isha. So he said, no, in that case, I'd rather come after Ramadan. So it's 37 rakats for Isha. Now that new person just coming into Islam, you tell him 37 rakats for Isha. The 20 rakats of Taraweeh and 17 of Isha. So he said, no, in that case, after Eid, I'll come and see you again. Whereas he should have explained to him slowly, a little at a time. So whatever namaz we are making, at least bring the ruh and the soul of that namaz. Then see how you find peace and sukoon. Otherwise our namaz is not even giving us sukoon. Before we place our head on the ground, it is up. Before we go into ruku, we are up. Whereas everything should come to a standstill in ruku, in sajda. There must be sukoon of the qalb. Then say peacefully, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Ala. then see how you find peace and sukoon. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me and give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq for making amal wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wasallim. Allah hamare gunahon ko maaf farma, khataon ko maaf farma, lagzishon se darguzar farma, sehat de, aafiyat de, salamati de, izzat de. اے اللہ ہمیں مغفرت دے, تیرا قرب دے, تیرا معرفت دے, تیرا یقین دے. او اللہ, light up our hearts with the nur of iman, with the nur of tawakkul, with the nur of sabr and shukr. او اللہ, protect us and safeguard us from all kinds of sins, vices and haram. اے اللہ, ہمارا خاتمہ ایمان کے اوپر فرما. جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا عطا فرما. جو تکلیف میں, مصیبت میں, دکھ میں ہیں, ان کے پریشانیوں کو دور فرما. جو بے اولاد ہیں ان کو اولاد صالح نصیب فرما. اے اللہ, سارے عالم کے اندر جہاں کہیں مسلمانوں کے اوپر اور امت مسلمہ کے اوپر مصیبت اور پریشانی آ رہی ہے, اس کو تیرے فضل و کرم سے دور فرما. خاص کر کے پیلسٹائن میں, چیچنیا, بوسنیا, کشمیر اور سارے عالم کے اندر جہاں کہیں بھی, اے میرے پیارے خدا, تیرے فضل و کرم سے ان کے مصائب اور تکالیف کو دور فرما. جو حج کر کے واپس آ رہے ہیں ان کو حج مقبول مبرور نصیب فرما. اے اللہ, ہم سب کو اپنا قرب خاص نصیب فرما. حضور علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی سچی محبت نصیب فرما. جو انتقال کر گئے ان کی پوری مغفرت نصیب فرما. جنت الفردوس کے اندر اعلیٰ مقامات عطا فرما. جب ہمارا اس دنیا سے جانے کا وقت آئے تو ہمارا خاتمہ ایمان کے اوپر فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم وتب علینا انک انت التواب الرحیم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.